Welcome to the Artist Mother Podcast, featuring interviews with incredible working artists who are also mothers and compelling conversations regarding parenting and the art world. These conversations create a space for inclusivity and support for artist mothers worldwide. I'm Kaylin Butine, painter, mom of three, and podcast host. I'm so grateful you are tuning in, and I hope you enjoy this episode.
I want that safe space. I want to create the safe place for women, for parents, for caretakers to be able to be like, man, thank you for saying X, Y, and Z. I can relate to that. And not feel shame. I can still love my children deeply while also acknowledging that this is hard and I'm struggling. Because I think sometimes there's so much shame involved in this motherhood, especially nowadays where we are balancing so many things in the air, to admit that it's kind of hard. Like, I'm struggling.
Friends, I am so thrilled to welcome my good friend, the artist Cassie Arnold, to the Artist Mother Podcast today. Cassie received her BFA in Visual Art Studies from the University of North Texas. She has spent the last decade teaching in both private and public secondary schools and has showcased her work in Fiber Arts International, where she received first prize, Ashurst Art Prize in London, the Mother Art Prize in London, Birthrights Collections at King's College, the Fantastic Fibers International Exhibition, and numerous other fine art exhibitions around the United States and Europe. Cassie's work has also been featured in international publications such as Makers Magazine's Women's Issue, Friend of the Artist, Sleek Magazine in Berlin, Vogue Russia, Glamour Brazil, and Fiber Art Now's Excellence in Fibers Exhibition. Cassie and her husband and her three girls live, work, and play in Denton, Texas. Cassie, it feels like it's been a long time coming. I'm so honored to welcome you to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. So excited. Yes, so excited to dive in and talk about your work and the growth and everything that you're doing. So to begin, I want you to point us back to something in your childhood that you feel like connects to your life as an artist today, wondering about some of those threads that are still there, or maybe some memories that you kind of have that, you know, remind you of who you are, who your inner child is as an artist.
Well, I had a pretty magical childhood. I grew up in the country of only 600 people. We used to joke that there was more cows than there were humans. And so
I know towns like that.
And so my childhood was just really free, and my parents just really allowed space when I was little to explore nature and to experiment and play. My mom was just joking this morning when we were FaceTiming her that our art room that we're in the process of making, she was like, oh, it looks like whenever your mom was little. We have like projects, cardboard is cut everywhere, girls doing stuff. And that really truly was my childhood, was just getting to make stuff and collect stuff and be free and be carefree. It was pretty awesome. And yeah. So that was in Texas. North Texas. We're just probably like 30 minutes from Oklahoma border. So it was pretty awesome.
Yeah. I imagine that landscape to be like prairie, wildflowers and big skies.
Oh, totally. Lots of
stars.
Yes. Yes. Lots of space to breathe. And if I'm being honest, I feel like that of my childhood has influenced more for motherhood for me, not necessarily my work, but like, motherhood, of just really creating space for my kids to have to get bored and to not be so structured and to have that time to like be a kid.
Yeah,
and so absolutely. So fast-paced these days. So
I love that. That's a great connection. Cassie, I want you to describe what your work looks like and a little bit about your process and materials, just so that as folks who are listening to this interview kind of have your work like in the back of their mind as we chat. So can you tell me a little bit about, you know, just what your visual language is, what are some of the materials that you use, and a little bit about your process?
Yes. I have you to credit for, I don't remember what it was, something of in the past 2 years. I was saying fiber artist and you were like, Cassie, I agree, but you're a conceptual artist. And I'm like, gosh, you're right.
Yeah. Did we have a studio visit? I remember that conversation.
What was it?
It was just something on WhatsApp maybe.
Maybe, I don't know, but I credit you for that because I left that going, you know what? Kaylin's right. Like I now have switched it of I'm a conceptual performance-based artist who uses fibers as my medium to storytell, to get the subject matter that I want to discuss with the general public. I use knitting, but it's not necessarily the knitting that is the core. It's just the medium I use to talk about really hard topics sometimes. And so, conceptual artist. So thank you.
Your body is very involved in your work, especially like the last couple of years, like kind of, you mentioned performance, but like literally using your body, yourself as model and kind of, you know, talking about the maternal experience through, you know, sharing who you are and your physical body with in collaboration with the work, I think is a big part of your process.
Yeah. Which is honestly is way out of my comfort zone. Like I love taking photos. I love my kids, you know, like I love putting stuff in that, but like it really was a step out of my comfort zone to put myself before the camera and start doing some of this stuff, like some of these pieces. But I felt like if I was asking the public to be vulnerable and share their experience, that it was only fair that I put myself in that vulnerable position that I hate. Like I hate being on camera. I hate being a part of it. But honestly, the more that I do these pieces and the more that I look back, like Eleanor and I just weaned like a month or so ago. And she's been such a huge part of this body of work the past 2 years. And it's like, my heart just wants to explode that I have all these moments captured. The She Came Unraveled was the first performance-based piece that I did where my kids, I knitted a sweater and it was the most basic, simple sweater on the planet. But the purpose was to have them unravel it off of me because it was in the middle of the pandemic and I was quite literally falling apart. But it was like this beautiful collaboration with the girls. And so I think sometimes my work may come off as like negative towards motherhood. And I really, I've been battling that lately.
No, like, honest.
I need to have a, like a statement of like,
honest portrayal.
Well, you know what I mean? But like, I want that safe space. I want to create the safe place for women, for parents, for caretakers to be able to be like, man, thank you for saying X, Y, and Z. I can relate to that and not feel shame. I can still love my children deeply while also acknowledging that this is hard and I'm struggling. Because I think sometimes there's so much shame involved in this motherhood, especially nowadays where we are balancing so many things in the air to admit that this is kind of hard. Like I'm struggling, but sometimes I do, I'm wondering, I'm like, I think people's perception of me is probably like, why did you have 3 kids? Because you're not at all always talking about how hard it is.
I don't think anybody could think that you would ever hurt a fly, Cassie. You're like the sweetest person I know. Just a couple of things like in response, you know, I did a project last year with Lee Noel Wilson about maternal ambivalence. And I think like that concept of holding multiple realities, multiple feelings, multiple identities at once, like it is something that you're speaking to in your work, just kind of this idea of like, yeah, there is joy, but there's also a lot of pain and a lot of sacrifice and a lot of confusion and a lot of doubt and all this stuff. So like, definitely, I think anybody making work about the maternal experience knows that
it is complicated.
Yeah. And if you're making like honest conceptual work about motherhood, which I think is really hard to do, like you are putting yourself in this position of like scrutiny potentially, you know, and bringing your own identity, your own, you know, perspective as a mother, like kind of into the mix. Right. And that's like super scary.
Oh, for sure. Well, and I will say the greatest thing about knitting is my primary medium. Sometimes I hate it with a passion, if I'm being honest, because it is a slow process. Mm-hmm. And so for me, sometimes I'm so passionate about something, like I want to talk about this right now. But what knitting does is it has slowed me down. And so instead of having a knee-jerk response to everything, the knitting allows me to process like my true feelings. I don't know if you've seen the latest art piece that I just posted last week. And I think people might assume that I like controversy. And if I'm being honest, like I hate.
You gotta describe the piece, Cassie.
Okay, so the piece is school uniform and bulletproof dress, and it is a school uniform knitted out of Kevlar, which is the number one material used for bulletproof vests. And I have just had all the feelings about this piece. Like I have been processing since May my own feelings on it as a mother. Sending my kids to school, but then also trying to create a piece, because my knee-jerk response in the moment was to rip my kids out of school, never send them back, to be fearful, to just, you know, like all of the things that we feel as mothers sending our kids to school after a tragedy like that happened in May. But then I had to like really process, and I'm so glad that it took me 2 months, because in my first sketch designs was like, I'm going to make an ammo, like we're militarizing our kids. And that if I truly want to have conversations, which is the goal with my work, I want to create safe place to come together so people can tell their own experiences, but also to have especially pieces like this to really allow conversation to happen from all sides, whatever you believe. I had to slow down and really think about it, because to make a uniform school uniform out of camo would have done nothing. It would have, it would have polarized the issue. It would not have created conversation. But I had to knit, and the knitting slowed me down. It made me really think about what did I want for this piece. But I'll be honest, like it was like months of wanting to throw up, of like lots of conversations with Lisa, of like Lisa Alberts, of like, should I just not do this piece and put it out into the world? And she's like, no, you have to put it out into the world. And it's like, I don't want anyone to be mad or angry, or like, I am very much rainbows and sunshine, want everyone to get along. But I also, more than that, want people to be able to feel comfortable to have conversations, even if they're hard. Like, we have conversations.
And like, yes, and I think your work does that so beautifully. It provides just enough without being like hitting you over the head, you know. It provides like a soft entry into, I mean, a lot of controversial topics. Like I'm thinking about some of the different projects that you've done. There's like big controversy in a lot of the kind of the concepts that you're processing with your work. But I just want to say, like, in regards to the piece about, you know, Uvalde and gun violence, like it's time to start saying the big things.
Yeah. No, it is.
You know, like,
but you know what it's like to, I live in the South. And so while this is where, with my work, the past 2 years has been a balancing act of, I can only give my own personal perspective. I'm not speaking for everyone, but I have to hold that space for other people's perspectives within my work. And not that I feel every artist should, but with me personally, I really, that has been part of with this work, is I want others to be able to have conversations also and be able to see and put their own opinions on it. And so I have to gently address some of these issues very delicately. And I do give credit to textiles. I feel like, I'm sure you probably feel that way when introducing quilting into your practice. There's something soft that invites a viewer in. There's something nostalgic. There's something gentle that we can address some of these stronger, harsher, more polarizing topics in a more gentle way, while also saying it loudly. Like that's what Men said, you photographed your child in that uniform. Are you crazy? And I was like, you know what? We are a family that we ask for consent. And I told her, I'm like, she goes to public school on a monthly basis. It's law that she has to do lockdown drills. So she already knows and is aware. I know. So while I didn't give her the information of everything that happened, I was like, is it okay? Because me and my middle we have collaborated before. She collaborated with me on the 6 foot social distance sweater. And for her, it was a special moment being the middle child. She was like, yes, I will collaborate. Whatever you have my consent.
Give me the spotlight.
Yes. And so, but it was hard. I mean, that was part of the vulnerable, was like, yeah, like I cried taking her picture in the hallway because it was like, that's my kid.
Yeah. What was it like to physically knit that material?
Okay. Painful.
I was going to say, like, cause seeing it crocheted, like I knew the concept. I knew that the name, like this must be bulletproof, but I'm like, it literally doesn't look like it's made out of bulletproof material. It's amazing. You're like a magician, Cassie.
No. It was a lot of swatches. I ordered lots of different material. You would not believe what Amazon now is trying to suggest that we get.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
Buy now. Since we bought a million spools of Kevlar, it's like, you should get this. I'm like, oh yeah,
you need a wildlife night cam, Amanda.
Oh, the military stuff is crazy. The Amazon, we're like, how long before this goes away from Amazon? Yeah. But I broke 3 circular needles.
Oh my gosh. That piece
because it was
I can't imagine your hands must have been like aching.
Like a chunk of my thumb just from more, it was almost like it was a blister. And so from knitting. And so it was a very physically draining. I have never been the stereotype. When I did the stereotype sweater, that piece was emotionally and physically draining. It was huge. It was an emotional piece of interviewing women from all over the world. When I was done, like I had to take an emotional break, and I feel similar to this piece. Like I just invested physically and emotionally so much into it that I really was hesitant. I had the pictures for days. I refused to post it for a while because I was emotionally preparing for the backlash. I will say, knock on wood, there's been 0 backlash so far, which I hope it stays that way. But like emotionally, physically, I'm like, I need a break. It's a lot of weight.
I'm curious to know if you've ever had quote unquote backlash with your work. Like, has there been moments of, and this is why I have, this is why I try to be gentle. This is why I have anxiety about putting this in the world. Like, would you mind being a little vulnerable and sharing about some of those moments?
Well, there's only been that I know of. So, I mean, again, you've known me when there was only like 5 people on my art page looking
now
at my
there's,
work.
over 20,000.
It's crazy.
Say.
And so I think I've, on my own personal page, because I've gotten, like, I get reposted a lot by bigger, and I think that's part of the reason why my platform has grown as much as it has. But I only look at
comments. Or maybe, like, because your work's really good.
Well, whatever. Yeah. I only look at comments on my own page, because I feel like anyone who really wants to have a conversation is going to come to me directly. Yeah. So I started that about a year and a half ago. I can't remember who, it was like Vogue somewhere, reposted the stereotype sweater. And I was like, that's so cool. And it was getting great feedback. But they didn't go into, and it may have been language barrier, the specifics, like this, it wasn't flaunting these negative words. It was, I had interviewed women, and these are words, the whole point of the piece is the weight of the words and what we say to others.
Right.
Texas. And there was one woman where I really gently, like, she was very, very, I mean, that's what she just kept saying. I'm triggered by this. I can't believe you would create this. Why would you ever put this out into the world? And it was really hard. And I really gently had a conversation with her explaining that I completely understood that I had never had intentions of recreating this. Like, because there have been some people that are like, can we make it into a sweatshirt? And I was like, no, like, I don't want to, like, let's make a positive sweater and then recreate that, but not this one. And so, but I had to, like, it was hard on me because, again, sunshine's rainbow. I'm like, no, I don't want you to feel bad about this work. Like, you are entitled to your own feelings. It's an artwork, if that makes you feel that way. But I didn't want her to feel that way because she misunderstood the concept behind the piece. And so, after that moment, though, I realized I was like, I can't look at other comments from other platforms that are reposting. Supposedly, I'm not on Facebook, but supposedly the mom bras went viral on Facebook. But under the title, they didn't give me credit. But then it was
of course
like,
not.
Well, no. But what it was like more of like the summer's worst fashion sense.
So mine was like as if you're supposed to really wear it or something.
I'm like, so people have been sending me like pictures of like, look at your mom rolls are going viral. And I'm like, whatever. Like, I'm not even going to, they're like, do you want to log on to Facebook to see? And I'm like, no, I don't.
No.
I'm like,
no,
I don't. I'm like, if you're a part of that thread, you can chime in and tell them what the mom bra series is about, but I'm not going to do it.
Oh my gosh. So funny. Hi there. I'm Kaylin Butine.
And I'm Jamie Smith.
And we are popping in to invite you to come check out another great space in the podcast world, one we co-host together, the Thriving Artists Podcast.
The Thriving Artists Podcast offers weekly short episodes where we share tips and strategies to help you thrive in your art career and studio practice.
Episode themes range from sharing information on artist residencies, how to manage your time well, the top things you can do to professionalize your art career, and a lot of focus on our mental health, well-being, and creating systems where we feel empowered to live the lives and art careers that we want.
We hope you will head over to the Thriving Artists Podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts. Hit subscribe and join us for our weekly episodes. You can also find all of our episodes in video format and see our beautiful faces on our YouTube channel, Thriving Artists. We are here for you. We are cheering you on, and we believe in the work you are doing as thriving artists.
See you there. Cassie, when I'm thinking about your work, this comment comes to mind that Sarah Irvin, who's a beloved artist mother in our community, mentor for the Thrive Together Network program, and just a great, great artist. She created Artist Parent Index. I believe I've referenced this quote maybe multiple times on this podcast, but like one time Sarah, I can't remember if we were in conversation about our own work or if I heard her like saying this to another artist. But she talked about how she was talking about her own work. Maybe it was on her episode of the podcast with me, but where she basically said that instead of seeing motherhood as a barrier to making your own art, she wanted to kind of flip the script on that perspective and say, what is the only art I can make given the conditions of motherhood or given the conditions of the season of my life that I'm in? And I feel like your work like perfectly is always within that space of like physically, materially, conceptually, like you are so intensely making the work that feels true to who you are in this very moment, like in this season. I think, you know, like to me, you're not an artist who is like getting too big for her britches. Like you're not, you know, going and buying a huge studio or like doing this and that. You're like, I have a small space. I have short amounts of time. I have limited materials, and you're not letting that limit you, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Like you're using those, you know, those ingredients to like make such intensely powerful work. I don't know if I have a question.
Thank you. That's so kind.
I feel like your work so perfectly embodies that. I guess I'll go here with this question, but just wanting you to maybe speak about like the confines, quote unquote, of motherhood and how maybe like you make it look pretty easy, right? To like kind of make all the pieces fit together to make really powerful work. But I know that's not the case. And so maybe you could talk about, you know, where you've made some compromises or where you've come up with, you know, just some points of like real frustration for you, like tangible things that have been really hard to deal with when you have all of these great ideas, all this momentum in your art career, yet you've got three little babies.
It's killer. Oh my gosh. Yes. So I always like to tell people that I am a better mother when I get to create art. Like it's a necessity, but I have become a stronger artist because of my babies. Like, they have helped me prioritize what is important because we don't have that much time. Like they're all consuming. And so if I could go back to, you know, 10 years before, I wish that I could take all that extra time when I thought that I was busy and like really do like change the world.
Right.
Now, but I think honestly, a lot of it, like a changing point for me personally was, 2015, I had just come off of a like amazing tour. I used to be a wood sculpture artist and I was featured in Chicago and I had checked box all of these things that I had wanted to do with my career while also just becoming a mom. My oldest was only a year and a half. And I got home from Chicago and I looked at my partner. I was like, let's have another baby. I've done all the things. Let's have another baby. And then we got pregnant right away. And then I miscarried. Mm. And it was very, like, it just rocked me to my core because I am a very ambitious person. And I am very much a check all the box, like all the, you know, all the boxes of all the things I want to do. And it really just put a kink in my whole life. Yeah. And I know now how common it is for everybody, but at the time it stopped my world of like, I heard a heartbeat and this baby was fine and we lost this baby and now I'm isolated and the world is ending. Like it took it very hard. And after that, it was very hard for me to get back up to the momentum of wanting to do anything. Like it was kind of a deep depression of like, where do I even go from here? And so my husband is incredible. And one night, I'll never forget it. I was feeling very overwhelmed with all of the things. And he had little pieces of paper that he had cut out. And he said, write down all your obligations right now. Mm-hmm. And so I wrote them all down. And he was like, okay, now you only get five of these things. put them in order. And I was like, I can't do that. I have to do all the things. And he's like, no, you only get 5. And it was just physically putting down all my priorities, had this enlightening moment. We, like 6 months later, were pregnant again with our middle. And it just, that little interaction with him of really gently giving me some space to be like, you don't have to be all of the things. You can sit here in this moment and be you, and that's okay without all these accolades, was just empowering for me. And so since then, we were just talking before.
First, Cassie, what are some of the things that didn't make the top 5?
So at the time, I was a part of a co-op locally. So being a part of our community, Jake and I are very involved with our community. We have a nonprofit. And at the time, like being a part of this co-op of other artist makers, and I was spending time at the co-op, I was working with other artists, and I had to say no to it and let it go. And it was very, very, very hard. A little bit after that was I quit teaching again. Like I took some time with my firstborn, and then I quickly jumped right back in whenever I was, my second was only a few months old, and I jumped into a teaching position, and I only taught there for 3 years before quitting. And that's kind of been, which has been a very hard identity wise to me, because I identify as an educator. Like I feel like I never had art growing up as a kid. It is my heart and soul to make sure other kids have that safe place to create art. So it's been a very hard thinking, like putting my family first right now while also getting to create art while education is on the back burner. It's been a hard thing, but it has not made my top 5 right in this moment. And so there's lots of other things, but I always see it as a swing. It is the seasons change. And so there are seasons where I am just full blown into motherhood, and summer I get to do more artwork. And so I get to see myself more as an artist in the summertime, but like fall hits and my kids are in school and I'm actively doing stuff with them, I always give myself grace of like, I have to mentally coach myself of like, you're not going to make a lot of art, and that's okay. But because right now, as I was just saying, like I'm emotionally done. Like I have all these ideas for art pieces, but since I only have like a little bit of time to create, like I am putting it to the side. I'm like, I'm researching right now Christmas sweaters for my kids because I need something joyful and happy that is not made out of Kevlar. Like,
softer on your thumbs.
Yes.
Cassie, do you have any just like tangible thoughts or tips for how we can say no more? Like, or just like how to identify like when the time is right for an opportunity and like when to turn it down. I feel like as artists, like we're told, I've heard people say on this podcast that I've interviewed, like you have to say yes to every opportunity. And I'm not like, I understand like what they're saying, but I also think as artists who are caregivers, who have a very full metaphorical dinner plate, right? it feels impossible sometimes to say yes to one more thing, but then you feel all this like shame and guilt for not doing it. Can I very transparently share an example with the community? I think I've asked you twice now to be a Crit Group mentor and you have said it's not the right time. And I just want to like, I'm not calling you out, but I'm just saying like, both times I have been like, I mean, like I'm getting emotional, like, damn, Cassie, like, thank you for your example of just knowing how to kind of, use the calendar, you know, and let things flow and hold what is precious to you right now, and then trust that like it's going to come back around. Because you said in your email, please ask me again, but yes, just it's not the right time, you know.
So can I be honest with you in return to that? Of it was in the fall when, I guess it wasn't this fall, maybe it was spring, Christmas time, I started looking on the website of like, because I saw it going around, I'm like, oh, where can I apply? Because I know that there's now this application process, and I couldn't find it. And it was a blessing in disguise because literally a month later, my dad moved in with us. And so it was kind of like the universe going, yeah, again, Cassie, not the right time. But I did, because it was like one of those, I'm like, he was never going to ask me ever again. And I would love to be a part of that. But
well, and you've been very well requested. So the opportunity is always there. You just, the ball's in your court. You come to me when you're ready.
Well, it is very hard. It is hard. I think it's, I don't know. I don't even want to say that it's harder as a, it's, I can only speak from my perspective. It is very hard when I got no's for such a long time. For 4 years, I was making this type of work. As we were talking about, very few people were, eyes were on my work. No one told me yes for 4 years. I got no rejections. And then 2020 hit and painting at night, y'all accepted my work. And then the ball has not stopped rolling since then. And so there is this total fear sometimes of, I mean, Jake laughs at me all the time because I'm like, what if the ideas stop? I can't take a break because what if there's no more ideas? And he was like, until you're done breathing, you are never going to not be inspired by something in this life, whatever it is. Like, and so, but it is hard sometimes to say no, because in our position, when we've worked so hard, and if I'm just being vulnerable, I put that in some of my notes of like, I feel sometimes not so much more now, but even 4 years ago, of like, I have to go to grad school. Like, that's the only way that my work is going to be accepted, is if they see that I've gotten an opportunity in grad school, it'll give me a platform. Like, and I don't have the education that most people do. And I don't have the studio. I don't have the vocabulary of the art world. I am researching constantly. Like, what does that mean? Like, you know, and I feel like to miss out on an opportunity sometimes now, it's like, no, you were very sad for a long time that no one would see your artwork, and it's hard to turn down those opportunities. I really don't have any good advice on it other than knowing that gut feeling. I think everyone in our position who's ambitious, who is creative, is wanting, you know, and who is a mother who is like, oh my gosh, is this gonna ever happen to me ever again? Am I ever gonna get another opportunity? I think you just like that same mother instinct that, that everyone has is the same with the artist instinct of like just knowing when the time is right to jump into something and when not to. I don't know.
It's I feel hard. Like you're like an underlying thread that you're kind of referencing to me is, you know, just learning to know and trust yourself.
Yes. You know, totally.
Which is a muscle that we have to really work on building.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah. And going with your gut. I think it's not just even opportunities. I think it's medium or switching. I mean, I was terrified to jump into fibers. It was like, because going back of like, I don't have the education and I don't want to be seen as just a knitter and people are just going to see me as just a knitter. And then, but whenever I got over myself with that and just started making the work that was on my heart, it opened up doors. And so I don't know, trusting your gut. I think it's hard though.
It is. I also just have to say that don't let me forget that Painting at Night was your first group show. You've told me that like your first knitting exhibition.
I need a shirt that says
I feel really proud of that.
I'm only here because of Painting at Night and Artist Mother podcast.
Well, that's definitely not true, but I do feel really proud of the fact that like that was kind of a big milestone for you.
It was huge.
Yeah.
It allowed me to put on my CV that I had gotten to be a part of something. And I didn't have that before. And so I know, isn't it crazy? Like how much has happened in 2 years?
Oh, so crazy. Cassie, walk us through what a day in your life looks like. Maybe a day that you are practicing in the studio. I know you talked about how you're coming up on taking a bit of a break, but just wanting to hear a little bit about how you're kind of managing schedules and like actually getting time in the studio while you have three kids. I know you're caring for one of your parents during this season. So tell me how you're, you know, just give us a glimpse into what a day looks like for you.
So it is very unhealthy, and I don't suggest anyone have my schedule. You might nix this one later on. Right now, because my partner is a college professor, and so during the summer, he usually teaches, but this summer we're needing extra income, so he is working for his family's contracting business, which is extremely long hours. And so normally, like I said, normally summertime is me getting to work on artwork, has been flip-flopped to me mostly focusing on mothering, which means that the day-to-day is that I am full-time mom and then get the babies to sleep. And then I work until ridiculous hours at night to get the work done. And I'm not advertising. I do not think that that is a healthy way. I used to use it as like a badge of honor of like, I get no sleep. And because I work all the time, and I have since realized how toxic that is. But in this particular case, I gave myself the deadline of finishing the school uniform before school started back, because I felt that the timing was totally intentional. Like, the elections are coming up in November, school's starting back, everyone's had this feel-free, feel-good summer, and I'm not trying to damper that, but like, as our kids go back to school, this topic's important. It needs to be talked about.
Absolutely.
So because of that, I have worked crazy hours to try to get it done. And so, and that's kind of, since it's almost like project phase, when I have an idea for a really big piece, it just, my kids come first, my dad comes first, and then when I have time to work is when I crank it out.
And then baking projects.
Oh, right? For sure. Well, that's usually I'm baking to process how I'm going to be doing the knit.
That's also your studio time. It's mental studio time.
It is mental, for sure. Yeah.
Well, I feel like you're kind of the epitome of what we're, you know, folks our age are kind of experiencing as the sandwich generation, right? Where you're caught in the middle of caring for kids and then caring for parents. So I just wanted to give a special shout out to all of the caregiving that you're doing in this season.
It is a lot.
And, you know, sending lots of good vibes and healing to your dad, of course.
Thank you.
Okay, a couple more questions before we wrap up, Cassie. I would love to know, or have you share, like, what is one thing or one or two things that you really need more of in your life as an artist and then also as a mother?
Ooh.
And those things can be disconnected or not. They could be like the opposite.
As a, like, just personally, I've learned, everyone has always said that I'm extroverted, but like the older I get, the more I realize, like, I'm a very good introvert. Like, as an educator, I love people and everything else like that. But the older I get, like, I'm realizing I need alone time, I need quiet time. And in January, for the first time ever in my life, I booked a hotel room locally and just cranked out my new year like resolution stuff. And it was like the most soul giving, like, to be by myself. And I never experienced that before. And was like, everyone's like, did you get lonely? I was like, I did not get lonely. Like, it was so good for my soul to have alone time. So I need more of that, honestly. And so as a mother, I always wanted three kids. Always. But I'm realizing now that they're becoming their own cool little human, like I need one-on-one time with them. Like I shine as a mother, not when they're a big group. I tend to, it's terrible, but I zone out the noise. So like, you have been called mom like 900 times. Are you going to respond? I'm like, la, la, la. I'm in my own head. I zone them out. And I
kind of hate when my kids say mom to me. I'm like, just ask the question.
Yes.
Because they say, they're just like, mom, mom, mommy, like, mommy, mom. Like, and I'm like, I don't want to have to say yes. Or like, I know that sounds so ridiculous.
No,
selfish, it's totally, but I'm like,
not ridiculous.
Just say mom, blah, blah, blah. Like say the whole thing.
I'm probably gonna, if you called me Cassie, I'd probably be quicker to respond than when you say mom.
Yeah.
But I realized that I really like taking them one-on-one. Like I'm a much better mom taking my kids. Like I love spending individual time with them. Like I didn't expect that out of myself. Like I thought that I would like them as a big group, but I like them as a big group playing amongst themselves and then really getting to dive in one-on-one with them.
Cuddling. Yeah. There's there's rare moments when I'm like, I feel capable of handling all three of you, but that seems like what it always is all three of them.
Yeah.
No, I totally agree with you. And actually, we try, like, we're not as into a routine of it. Recently, I blame everything on our kitchen renovation, but because of the kitchen renovation, but we try to do like one-on-one dates with our kids, you know, like once in a while, John and I both. And then, actually River is joining Girl Scouts, this year. And it's kind of like part of the motivation for wanting to facilitate her doing it is that like her and I are going to take that hour to like go to Girl Scouts together.
Yeah,
and, you know, and then John and Finley, my Finley, are doing, Boy Scouts. So,
which is fun.
I don't know how I politically feel about all that, but I'm like, you know what? It's being rooted in community. It's doing activities like with our kids. It's
going to be good. If I'm being honest, my parents were very, very big in the Boy Scout community, and my brother was an Eagle Scout. And because we were so small, like I went on every single camp out. I put my hair up in a ball cap. No one knew.
I love it.
And I feel like things have changed now. So I think hopefully it's getting better. I don't know, but it is. There is some perks to it.
You'll be fine. Okay, Cassie, would love to hear just a goal or something that you're kind of working on maybe in the next couple years. I feel like you've accomplished a lot of big things, which is exciting, but I'm wondering if there's something you got your eye on kind of out there in the distance.
Yes, I want, and maybe if I'm putting it out in the universe.
Yeah, that's why.
That it'll happen.
Yes.
Come on, universe. I want to be a part of a residency. Like I want to go somewhere and I want to have the space to explore and to learn and to create, and maybe not even create. I'm so goal oriented when it comes to my pieces. They are all emotionally driven. Like part of me is like, I really love the play aspect, but I don't ever get to have the play aspect, like the maternal imprint with the thermal change. It was 9 months of me playing with material, but like, it was for an end result. Like it would be so hard for me, but also so amazing for me to go somewhere and just play for the sole purpose of playing and seeing what would come out of that play. And so I'm looking at a residency in Ireland right now. I've been to Ireland before when I first started knitting, and it was cool to get to talk to locals at the time. But like now I'm like, I want to sit and learn how to spin and make all these other, I mean, make my own yarn and dye my own yarn. And what would that look like afterwards? And so, but it's hard to get into a residency, and even if I were, it's like, how would I pay for a residency? But that is a goal.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's a great one. And I definitely think that's probably in your near future. So
I hope so.
Okay, Cassie, let's close with five final questions. It went so quick. This was an amazing conversation. I feel like, well, you know, we could talk forever. So
I know.
But we got things to do, people to feed.
Yes.
So final five, starting with the first one, who is your biggest art crush?
Right now is, there's so many, but right now is Tanya Aguinga. I always butcher her last name,
yes.
But she is
Borderlands based artist.
Yes.
Yeah. And I know her textile. Recently. Yeah. Oh, I saw that she curated your work, right?
And Lisa's, and there was so many, like, I feel like there was quite a bit in the artist mother community who got into that exhibition, and she is such a beautiful human being.
I want to get her on the podcast. Here's what I'm putting out into the universe.
Okay.
Tanya, can you come on the podcast? She's like on my bucket list.
Okay.
But I, of course, haven't sent the email because... like,
send an email because, and not saying, I mean, but she was just such a gracious and kind. Like, I had been fangirling for years over her work and like the performance space and like just putting myself out there to make the kind of work that I wanted to make. And then getting to meet her in person, and she was so wonderful. Mm. Like,
I love her Art 21 video.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's amazing.
Okay. What is your favorite place to travel or a dream trip you'd like to go on?
I would love to go back to Edinburgh, or like I said, if a trip to Ireland in the future.
Residency.
Yeah. The people, residency.
Sounds great. Tell me about a film or a book that has been a big source of inspiration for you.
I don't know. If I'm being completely honest with my schedule lately, I have not been the avid reader that I used to be, but, and it's not very, it's kind of boring, but I just finished this, I think it was this person's dissertation, but it was called Knitting as Dissent, Female Resistance in America Since the Revolutionary War. And my mind,
I think that's in my Amazon cart, that book.
It's like,
or is it not a book?
It's like,
where have
an
I
essay.
Seen that? It's I've seen Knitting as Dissent before. Like,
it's probably, it's part of the Textile Society of America published it.
Okay.
And so, but like my mind has been blown, and it was like quick read, but like I keep going back to it and highlighting and checking myself on certain things of like, don't fall into this trap of generational, like, oh, knitting is for housewives and you can't do anything important with it. And it's just really... Ooh,
sounds good. It sounds like one of those that you have to have Jake print at work so you can have a physical copy and highlight it. I'm saying that because I also do that. I'm like, you're a college professor. You can print this stuff for me for free. Yes, absolutely. Okay. What is your favorite meal?
Favorite meal right now is a plate of, we have a cheese place here in town that imports fancy cheese from all over. And that has been my jam lately, of like fancy cheese platter with a glass of bread and local bread. And not really a meal, but it's been my favorite.
Oh, that's definitely a meal. That qualifies as a meal in my book. Okay, Cassie, and just want to offer you the space to give a shout out to somebody who supports you in your work.
For sure, Lisa Alberts has been just shining star the past couple of years. We've never actually met in person, which is so funny to say out loud. We have never met in person, but we talk all the time, and she's just so close to my heart.
You guys got to get together, and I want to come.
I know. Well,
retreat.
Chicago. We're thinking Chicago.
Yes. Oh, yeah. She mentioned, actually, that you might be coming this fall.
Yes. So if that all
plays out. We got to work that out.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We do.
Well, thank you so much, Cassie. You're just such a big inspiration and a big part of the Artist Mother community. And I just really appreciate you taking the time to talk with me.
Oh, thank you so much for asking me. It's such a huge honor.
Of course.
The Artist Mother podcast is curated and produced by Kaylin Butine. Music by Josh Middleton. Editing and mixing by John M. Butine. Thank you.
please visit www.artistmotherpodcast.com for episode notes and to find out how you can further support this podcast.